And you're welcome back to Highland Radio's Sports Review of the Year 2020. We give a shout to a competition once again. Who's the current Republic of Ireland senior football manager? Get your answer on a text to 086 60 25,000. Put your name and address on it as well, and you could be in with a chance of winning an absolutely fabulous prize, a signed Republic of Ireland jersey from the European 2012 Championship, where Ireland played Croatia in Poznan, of course. Right, time to turn our attention to athletics. And joining us live via Zoom has probably one of Donegal's busiest athletes in 2012, I think it's fair to say. The Donegal Senior Female Athlete of the Year from Letterkenny AC, Anne-Marie McGlynn. Anne-Marie, thanks for joining us, and a very happy Christmas. Hope you had a nice and happy, peaceful one.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was lovely. Quiet enough, but yeah, it was nice to... I stayed up here this year. Usually I go to Tullamore with my down to my family, but we stayed here this year and it was lovely. So, yeah.
Good stuff. You didn't batter the roads over the last couple of days, or did you actually take a break? Did you give yourself a break? Did you?
No, I did Christmas Day, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, I'm just gonna take a look at some of the highlights of your 2020. As I said at the outset, that you were probably one of the busiest Donegal athletes in 2012. You do, of course, from Offaly. You're living in Strabane, but we claim you as a Donegal person, given the fact that you're running with Letterkenny AC, Anne-Marie. You set a new Donegal record at the World Half Marathon Championships in Poland, where of course you were competing for Ireland. The championships were originally due to be held in March, but were postponed due to the coronavirus outbreak. Back in July as well, you were in record-breaking form, setting a new Northern Ireland record in the 10K at the Royal Down race course, setting a personal best as well in a 5,000 metre event in a leek slip. It was the fastest recorded by a female at the event. They're just some of the highlights. There was disappointment in there as well. You didn't hit the qualifying standard in Valencia in Spain a number of weeks ago at the marathon event. So between everything, all the restrictions, the running that you were allowed to do and you weren't allowed to do, the amount of events that you competed in, how would you sum up overall 2020, first of all, Anne-Marie?
Do you know what? Whenever I got the call to ask me to come on to Highland, it made me sit down and just look at how 2020 went. And I was surprised at how many times I got to toe the line. So I've been quite fortunate considering COVID and all the races that have been cancelled and postponed. So I suppose 2020 started out, well, it actually started out, 2020 started out for me just the week before it, Christmas week. I started my marathon block for what was going to be a spring marathon in Rotterdam with the aim of trying to get the qualifying standard for Tokyo. That was pulled, I think, in March. But before that, we kind of put in races that we'll run in the run-up to the marathon block and into Rotterdam. So we went to, I think, Rahini 5-miler in January, and I ran very well there. I think around 26 dead, which I was happy with. And then we penciled in Barcelona half. I remember Barcelona half, maybe there was talk about a virus in China, but we weren't really worried about it. We're like, right, okay, came back, and then it just went mad within 2-3 weeks. Olympics was postponed. I think my Rotterdam marathon went a couple of days after it. So we just had to go back to the drawing board, I suppose. Yeah. And
how frustrated at that time were you?
What was hard was the not knowing. So every day I was getting up going, oh my God, I'm doing like a, say I had a 18 mile progression run, and you're like, am I doing this? And next week my race is going to be pulled. So I had to put it out of my head and just look as if it was, train as if it was going ahead, because anytime I let it sneak into my mind that it was going to be cancelled, I kind of was deflated going out the road and stuff. So in the end I had to just be like, right, it's going ahead. But then when it did get pulled, it was kind of nice in a way that it was took out of my control then, like it was done, it was gone. So I was gutted, like, because I put in, I think, up to that 12 weeks of hard training. And in the springtime, the training, the weather is brutal. Like your January, February, March, wind, rain, snow. So it was tough. It was a tough training block for them to get nothing out of it, really. So.
Yeah. And you have to do all that training again come springtime, don't you? Because it's turning a new page, and you have to do next year what you've been doing this year. Isn't that correct?
Exactly. It's a deja vu. So it's about 3 weeks later this time, the marathon, this time in spring. So I don't start until I think next week. So I've had a good run up to Christmas. I was able to enjoy Christmas. After Valencia, we took 10 days of complete rest. That was the 6th of December. So I was able to get right up over Christmas, kind of relaxing and chill out with the kids and stuff. So, but yeah, next week, thanks for reminding me. Back on it. Back on it. Big mile.
Yeah. Listen, I know you were really, really disappointed with the Valencia performance. You ran, was it was 2:35 and you were looking to hit 2:39:30. And I know, speaking to Teresa McDade before it as well, that going into it, that you were quite confident, but it just didn't work out that day. And I don't want to be talking about downers for the year, but you had really, really good hopes of doing it that day, didn't you?
Yeah, like, I mean, I think when I look back at my training for it, was that my third marathon? Yeah, that's my third marathon. And every marathon you learn something. So I've been told, and by God, you do. Like, my first marathon last year, or 2 years ago, was Rotterdam, and I cramped from halfway. And I thought, oh my God. So we got our salts ready and right the next time. Then went to Dublin. And I got a bit excited with the crowds and I started running a bit too quick in parts, and then it came back to bite me. I learned from that. And then this one, everything went right. Training, no injuries, no sickness, nothing, bar COVID. And I kept my head over COVID. I just controlled the controllables. And I get to Valencia and I just don't know what happened. I just felt wiped. And I'm not one for making excuses. So there's no, I've nothing, like I literally tried my best. I was isolated. We decided not to go with the pacers for the Olympic qualifying standard because we wanted to try and do a negative split. So we wanted to go out a minute slower and then come back stronger. And I stayed off the pacers, and really I don't even think I could have went with the pacers that day. I just felt wiped. The wind was in my face. I was isolated from, I think I remember looking at my watch, it coming up to 16K. And there was nobody around me. And I thought, oh no, I've got like 16 mile of me, myself. And I was like, this is going to be hard. I tell you, I came away knowing I'm mentally strong, if anything, because a lot of things go through your head. You're thinking, I wonder, is there a shortcut home if I walk go through the streets? But you don't. Yeah. You just have to batter on. You have to just rally home. And that's what I did. And, you know, it's a long way around, 26 miles. And I think that's the problem. We don't respect it for what it is. And, yeah, I came home on the Sunday night and I was sick with a bug, diarrhea bug, from Monday night till Thursday. So I don't know that I picked something up at the airport. It wasn't COVID because we had to have tests when we come back. And I don't know, was it working on me or did I get it when I on the way through the airport? We don't know and we'll not know. So there's no point. I do know that I can bank everything and I had the running in my legs that day. It just didn't come out. So I had to be positive and take that away from it and move on. Look, nothing changes. I come home, my kids, pick them up in Dublin. My mum and dad had them, picked them up in Dublin, and Lexi hugged me and said, you were a winner in my eyes. So.
Yeah. Listen, I'm also joined in studio by Chris Ashmore and Dermot Doherty. Dermot?
Yeah, I just was wondering, Amory, your PB for a marathon, 2:32, and the Olympic qualifying time is 2:29:30. So, I mean, you're not that far away from it, 2.5 minutes or so. Your next race then up ahead is Wales, is it, Amory?
Yeah, I've entered for Wales. Valencia was weird in that it was elite only and it was the standards were to get in was very hard and I barely got in and no more. So Rex, which meant it was basically Kenyans and Ethiopians versus the Europeans, which is very hard because they go off like so hard and then we're left to kind of run after them. But in Wrexham, the standard is, I think, 3 hours for the women and 2:40 for men. So supposedly, I'm told by the organisers, we've got like 130 men capable of running the standard between 2:27 and 2:29:30. So, yeah, I'm going to go there and hopefully there'll be a lot of people to run with and get dragged around. And it's looking like it's going to be an Irish championship, never mind anything else, because all the Irish girls are going. So, look, it's whoever has it on the day, that's the way it's going to be. So
yeah, and there's so much that you know, you have to think about on the day as well, Anne-Marie, the actual difficulty of the course, the weather, and as you say, like in Dublin, big crowds, it got the better of you when you ran Dublin. All those factors have to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, and again, I suppose as an athlete, you have to look at only controlling the controllable. So I'll go in as best prepared as I can. We'll probably train on a little route that's similar to Wrexham. I think it's 3.5 mile a loop, and you do that, whatever, the 5 times, 6 times. So we will train on something similar, hopefully. I think it's flat. I was told it was flat. They sent me a video. I haven't looked at it, but it is, look, it is what it is. The weather we can't control. I can only control how I go on or how I go into the race, and I will be prepared, hopefully, touch wood, all going well. So
now, if you can't break the 2:29:30, Anne-Marie, what sort of time will you need to progress and to the top 80 in the world for the ranking system? Isn't that correct? You were just outside it before COVID happened back in March. So if you can't hit the time, what's the next best solution for you?
Yeah, so they've got like top 80 in the world ranking. I think I was sitting 85th before they froze it. And then when they opened it up again after Valencia, I actually went to 83rd, because you get knocked off it if you're out of date or if you haven't ran a marathon and a half. So I actually got bumped up to 83rd. And then last week it was another marathon in Arizona in America, and I got knocked down to 85th. So we don't want to depend on that, really. We want to get it in our own merit and try and get to qualifying. But yeah, it's tough because all these new shoes and stuff, everyone's running faster. So the ranking is unbelievable. Like, you know, there shouldn't be 80 to have the qualifying. So, but there is. So, yeah.
Did you get the new shoes yet?
Yeah, I've got loads under the bed.
I'm going to bring Chris Ashmore in here. Chris.
Yes, Anne-Marie, interesting to note your comments there and just observing many club runners and fun runners out continuing to pound the roads during the COVID pandemic. And great to see so many people out. But as you've touched on there, when you don't have a target to aim for, and, you know, we had the cancellation of the Northwest 10K, the Ballyliffin Challenge, so many of the big races, you know, whilst there's a lot of people out there, it's just not the same thing when you don't have the real target. And even the virtual races that we've had, it can be hard to motivate. And when you come over the line, it's just not quite the same sense of achievement.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for me, you're right. Like, I need a goal. Like, so whenever Rotterdam was pulled and the Olympics was pulled, we decided to pull back the marathon training, go into 5K, 10K training. And my coach penciled in, we were going to do 6 week block of that. And my coach penciled in two time trials over 5K and a 10K. And for me, that's what kept me going, because the whole COVID thing was going, everywhere was in lockdown, the kids were off school. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go off my head. So thankfully, by us doing the time trials, it kept me motivated for 6 weeks. And then the lockdown kind of settled a bit, and we got a couple of races in again, permitted races. So yeah, definitely, I think that you have to kind of pick something and try and work towards it, or get a group of people and do virtual ones, like, you know, individually, but then, you know, you see who got the fastest and stuff. And I think that's the only way, because, you know, it's great, you have to get out. Like, if you're used to running outside, and, you know, you have to pick something that's going to motivate you to get out the door, because that's the main thing.
Okay, Anne-Marie, just finally then, are you confident that you can achieve this next year and be part of the Olympic Games in Tokyo?
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's the pinnacle of the sport, isn't it? So I definitely want to be in Tokyo. This has been a hard run up to it, so I don't think it can get any harder than this. All the restrictions and lockdowns and cancellations and postponements. I have to believe I'm going to be there. And yeah, I just want those five rings, like, so.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're all behind you. Many thanks again for joining us today on the programme. We appreciate you dropping in, and continued celebrations and Christmas, because you're going to have to enjoy it, because it's going to be back down to the hard work for you shortly, Anne-Marie. Listen, have a nice Christmas, have a nice new year, and the next time we're talking to you, fingers crossed, hopefully it'll be qualified for the Olympic Games.
Yeah. Hopefully. Thank you.
Best of luck, Anne-Marie. Thank you very much indeed. Bye. Super stuff indeed from Anne-Marie McGlynn. Chris Ashmore, you done a marathon this year.
Well, virtual marathon.
And how did that go?
It was hell. Yeah, it's just not the same thing. It really, you miss the crowds and the whole buzz is just not there. There was a lot of virtual events, there still are, and better to be doing something than to be doing nothing. And no doubt everybody, when we do get competitive races back, I have no doubt there will be huge entries, be they 5K, 10K, the likes of the Ballyliffin or Northwest 10K. So fingers crossed for 2021.
Yeah, and Chris, we're going to stick with the athletics. The first race back in the county, which was allowed to return, was the New Mills 10K. Letterkenny AC's Owen McGinley won that. Claire McGuigan of Lifford AC was the first lady. It was different, to say the least. At the start line, everybody was 2 metres apart, and the event was limited to 120. In January, Letterkenny's Teresa McDade received the December Manager of the Month on behalf of the Irish European cross-country team. Under her leadership, Ireland had their most successful cross-country championships ever last December, winning 4 medals, 2 individual and 2 teams. That was in Lisbon. The success came as Ireland prepared to host the 2020 championships for a second time. It should have been held this month. That was cancelled due to COVID, but it will return in December 2021 next year. Chris, you may take up the national championships and the indoors, which were held in the early part of the year.
Yeah, if we go back to February, Mark English claimed his 7th 800 metre national indoor title in Abbottstown, and Finn Valley's John Kelly claimed gold in the shot put. English claimed the title in a time of 1 minute 49.09 seconds, and Kelly set a new Ulster and Donegal record for the shot put, 18 metres 35 centimetres. And James Kelly, a brother of John's, finished 2nd in the same event with a throw of 15.46. Meanwhile, Finn Valley's Summer Leckie finished in a joint gold medal position in the high jump event in the National Senior Indoor Championships. Leckie, along with Philippa Rogan, both jumped 1 metre 75 to claim the top honours there. And then it was back to the outdoors. We had to wait till August. No Mark English at the Nationals. He didn't defend his 800 metres national title due to the requirement of self-isolation, but he ran in Italy with the season's best time, but athletes who travelled overseas had to isolate for 14 days prior to an event. So it was unfortunate for Mark, and many others found themselves in a similar position, of course. Italy had been on the government's green list. Nevertheless, Athletics Ireland ruled that any athlete travelling from another country had to comply with the measure, and so that meant implications for Mark. Meanwhile, there were title winners from the Northwest. Summer Leckie winning the Irish National High Jump title, continuing her great progress. Brendan O'Donnell won the Hammer, a young man who has a bright future ahead of him. And John Kelly was the National Senior Shot Put Champion once again. Indeed, it was a successful day for the Kelly brothers at the National Athletic Championships in the Morton Stadium. John threw 18.40 to earn gold, while James threw a personal best of 16.48 in his final throw to pick up a silver medal in the event. And James also won the Under 23 title. So it wasn't a bad day for the Kelly boys.
I was good. I was happy with it. It was one of my best throws of the season, so I couldn't complain. I would have loved a bit more, but there's always another day, as they say. Another day to McKay. So we'll see how it goes.
And James, you let out a big roar as well.
Oh,
no
way.
Was it?
I actually matched my personal best, so did. To be honest, I was actually psyching myself the whole round, and then like, once I came off my hand, I just knew it was a big throw. So I just let out the biggest roar, to be honest. I was just so happy.
Yeah, and was your dad or some of the Finn Valley crew watching through the gate there?
They were down there.
In the very bottom.
You can hear him shouting. It's not the stadium that we're used to, but you're here. We'll take a certain away.
And you're obviously super competitive in the shop with Circle. Does that competitive nature spill over into the household back in Donegal?
It does indeed.
All the time.
There's not a game of Monopoly where there isn't a couple of cards flying in there.
Even PS4. Odd FIFA game.
No one ever quite around the boys.
Two competitive boys, John and James Kelly, speaking after they had won on 2 in the shot put title, and that was a video extract taken from Athletics Ireland, and the two boys were certainly chuffed, so they were. And by the way, John, we heard from the female Donegal Athlete of the Year, who was Anne-Marie McGlynn, live in the programme. John Kelly was named the male senior athlete in the county for 2020 after what was another superb record-breaking year for him as well. Just on the Masters front, in February, Finn Valley's Teresa Doherty won the National Masters Cross Country title in County Wicklow. She led her Finn Valley team onto the podium in the team category as well. Claire McGuigan's third place in the women's, and she helped the Donegal Masters team into the medal places too. While at the Masters indoors, Katrina McDevitt, Joe Joyce, Ian Gillespie and Nicola O'Donnell all won gold medals. Ed McGroarty of Lifford AC set a new Irish endurance record this year. McGroarty finished second in the 24-hour Espoo endurance race in Finland with a total distance of 249 kilometres. While former Irish Olympic marathon runner Tommy Hughes smashed the over 60s world record for running a 15k race in Donegal. Chris, I'm going to bring you back on this one because you attended the Danny McDade 15k on the day that that record took place.
Yes, Tommy Hughes had a great year. His son has also helped him to a number of dual records, and the Danny McDade 15k event hosted by Letterkenny AC in August, over 60, doing that distance, 51 minutes, 30 seconds. He absolutely smashed it. I think it was a Dutch athlete who held the previous record, and it was so much better than the previous record. I myself was limping over the line somewhat later. In fact, so far behind was I that Tommy Hughes had already gone and was into his car and was back home with all the COVID restrictions. I didn't even know until Martin Gormley had informed me of the great feat, but great achievement by him. And the distance, or the time, his time was some 3 minutes and 2 seconds faster than the previous record. So that just shows what he had achieved. As I mentioned, along with his son Owen, they became the Guinness World Record marathon holders for the fastest father and son during the year as well. And he just continues to break records. A great person to look up to.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Right, we're going to take a commercial break. Still lots more to come in our sports review of the year. Coming up shortly, tug of war, horse racing. We'll hear about the Everstein World Record holder, plus details of Donegal riders on bikes in England. And we'll also be looking ahead to 2021 with Leon Blanche of Boys Sports and ahead of the game. That and loads more to come after these.